Oh, you can turn it off now.
Shut up.
Turn it. Batman says turn it off.
I don't listen to Batman. I do what I want. No.
So pretty much I'm Robin.
Batman
says. Depends on which movie you're watching.
Hey guys, this is Sean from Phoenix Ash, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Library. We just listened to Awake from the soundtrack of Oblivion. I am Richard.
It's called Waking Up.
Excuse me, I got it wrong. Waking Up. That's April, if nobody knew.
Mm-hmm. Chris.
Damn it. Now we're out of order. That over.
Well,
he hasn't said I'm Richard yet, so.
Yeah. Oh.
You want to start over?
Is it Waking Up?
Yeah.
Before you go.
It
go.
Is. Wake me up.
That's wake me up.
Waking okay. up before you go-go.
Wake me up before you go-go.
See what you started, Matt?
I know. My God. I'm sorry.
Let's start again here. In 3, 2. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with...
Chris.
Matt.
April.
And Logan.
And we just listened to the drop from the soundtrack of Oblivion, Waking Up. And we are going to be reviewing the movie Oblivion and their soundtrack in this episode. So we will take a break for Dodge City Public Library, and then we'll get rolling with the Oblivion review.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land. So why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcast. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
And we are back. So we are going on with the review of the movie Oblivion.
Go, Matt.
Oh, I should go.
That's you, bud.
Oh, that's me. Oblivion stars Tom Cruise, Morgan Freeman. They're kind of the two.
Yeah, who cares about everybody else?
That's well, the
only there's some other actors. Actresses in there.
There's two other
Thanks, Chris. Ones. But they're the if I get to my point, they're the main characters that the story revolves around.
They just put Morgan Freeman and Tom Cruise in a box, and that's they just filmed them for 2 hours.
The redhead's pretty in there quite a bit.
No,
she's
but
in,
she's
but
not well
no,
known.
She's not a
she's
real.
She's not a name. She's not a face.
She's not a face.
Holy cows! The story revolves around her a little. I mean, she's more or less acting as his kind of guide.
She's
if
a
you want to
tower,
say.
tower control?
Yeah, if you want to say that, what it is they start out the story, yeah, kind of, with Tom Cruise's character whose name is Jack. Mm-hmm. And he is basically patrolling. I think they're at the like coastline.
What is his official title?
He's the technician.
He says technician.
Tech 49?
Yeah,
I don't know what number is it is.
Tech 49 or Tech 42? Because wouldn't it be funny if they met up with Tech 9?
Funny, Chris. He is the technician, and he is repairing drones.
Very good at it, too.
And cold fusion reactors.
They're basically siphoning ocean water. And converting it into, I think he says hydrogen.
No, it's electric power.
Or is it electric power? I thought they were. Okay.
Electric power. Maybe water,
I just kind of missed that part. Or it's been a while since I've seen the movie. And his job is to do that. And what was his wife's name? Or supposed to be wife, partner, controller of the tower?
No idea.
Victoria.
This one is just partner, not wife.
Well, they kind of portray it. They kind of portray it as being husband and wife.
Pretty much that. They portray it as pretty much that relationship. They just.
I think they're married. Yeah.
I don't know. It never really says.
They are intimate. It was marriage.
They are.
Okay.
It's never actually married, but pretty much.
Whatever.
Pass them off.
And but she is directing him while he is out repairing stuff.
What?
Not really, but
no.
And she is communicating with. What did they call that thing in space?
The Your triangle. Mom.
The pyramid.
Wow.
Great this pyramid is going turtle. Really bad really fast.
I feel like Chris just turned into a 12-year-old.
I'm a fifth grader, damn it.
If you want to know the reference for that, watch our previous podcast.
And or future podcast.
We'll do some editing in here. What? Yeah.
So, I can't remember what the spaceship was in space where all the humans are.
It was a space station.
Yeah, a space station where all the humans are, and they're basically generating the power for the space station. I'm not trying to figure out how they were getting it up there, but hey.
Wireless power.
Oh my gosh, there's this lady.
Thank you, Tesla.
So, talk about that lady on the desk that talks to her.
The one with the great Texas accent?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that made me want to slap her.
I know.
Well, that you can't go too deep into some of that, or you'll ruin the movie story for them.
No, I'm just
the accent did sound weird.
I know. I just want to say that because that she was like kind of the person they checked in with as they were doing their job, and
what I said. He was out repairing. Victoria, who was his wife or however you want to say it, was kind of directing him as to what he needed to do and where to go, and then the space station was telling her information of what they needed. She was relaying, hey, we need parts, things of that stuff.
Anyways, I thought that...
It was using a human. It was somebody in the space station that was actually relaying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they could actually see a picture of a person.
Because you said
the
space station was.
Right.
The station was also actually supposed to be a vessel, because once they got all the power, they were going to colonize Titan.
Anyways,
one of the moons of Saturn.
I thought that was called Titan.
No.
Yeah.
No, they were going to go somewhere to
Let's
colonize.
Let's get back to the moral of my story
Titan,
here.
That was the moon of Saturn.
Is it Saturn? Maybe it was. I can't remember.
It was. Titan was a moon of Saturn that they were going to colonize for whatever reason. They never explained. There was radiation on Earth. The Earth was radiated, and that's why they were doing that. And there were certain spots he couldn't go because of the radiation. Mm-hmm.
There were radiation zones.
There were radiation zones that they were supposed to stay out of.
It's because they had been attacked by the freaking aliens and they won, but it was too.
They had to use.
But the Earth was so bad that they had to leave.
Is kind of the whole.
Yeah, they show this epic picture of the Pentagon with a big crater in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Anyway,
he finds kind of out in his travels. He finds a nice spot, I guess, by a lake with a cabin that's untouched, greenery.
Because Earth's starting to like
regenerate.
Regenerate itself is what he's thinking.
Yeah. I think it was more like he actually built that.
I don't know if he built it or found it, but he went there quite often where he'd get out.
The shack he could have built.
Built the shack, probably.
But he didn't, build the deer.
and he kind of disappeared there once in a while to relax and get away from his job. It seems like he was out repairing
his vacation spot.
Yeah, just take a vacation. You know, it's lunch hour. Pull over there.
Can I talk about the chick now?
No.
You mean the biatch?
You just don't like her.
No, I'm not talking about Victoria. Oh, my God. Droid.
You gotta edit that out.
You're ruining this review yourself.
You gotta edit that puppy out.
No, listen though, like, I thought it was ridiculous because she would get mad at them because this drone's down, this one's down, why are they all down? But the thing is, there were still some aliens left on Earth, and they would go in at night while they were sleeping and get rid of them. I'm like, if they're sleeping,
well,
they weren't really sabotaging them. They were stealing their power cells.
Yes. They were stealing power cells and stuff like that.
So I was like, what are they supposed to do about it?
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. What did they call the aliens?
Scavengers?
Yeah. Scabs?
Scabs?
Yeah.
Scabs? Scabs, something like that. Which the drones were programmed to kill if they saw them.
Yeah, they sucked at that.
And he intercepts he intercepts a communique that the scabs are basically sending out that brings a ship down to Earth that crashes. And there are survivors on it. And he revives one of the survivors. And I don't want to go any much farther than that because that's really where the story gets, to me, got really
this
interesting.
This is where everything starts to swing.
Exactly. And that's probably, what, 30 to... Oh, Lord.
How old are you? You've been watching ghost stories way too much.
But that's where the story starts to change. And
what do you do in Podunk, Kansas? Besides do drugs and think about sex all the time.
Apparently.
That's Kansas.
First of all, piss down.
What the
Something I really feel sorry for your wife.
I have to edit this and find out that her daughter's promiscuous.
Oh, please.
Something very, very odd.
Hell off in my field.
For some jokes, you don't even have to get them. You still get them. It's weird. A good dozen of ghost stories.
Okay, back to the movie.
I have no clue.
True.
Still funny.
But let's swerve
back to the movie.
Back to this episode.
Where the ship lands or crashes is kind of where the story really starts to turn and develop.
See, that's
Twist
where the story
word.
Stopped for me.
Well, see, like, that's where the
actually,
story really takes
kinda.
A turn.
I stopped paying attention like once he went off with her and it was like, screw this.
That's where I started to kind of develop what had actually happened, and I was fairly close.
I want his bike.
Yeah, that's
that
pretty cool.
That would be awesome.
Oh, there are some great action scenes where they're flying his little odd bike thing.
It's a helicopter jet.
Yes.
Something. It's
Hover
pretty
jet.
Cool.
Hover jet?
We were watching the special features on it, and they said that there's, you know, that mountain that he like sat on with the flower he found, and he was just looking out. Like, that was some desolate mountain that nobody'd really been up on in some whatever country. They literally had to build their own road, like construct it, pave it, everything up
cool.
to it. And I was like, what?
They did that for most of their scenes, they said.
It's a really good movie. It's very, very visual. There are some really nasty death scenes, if you want to say, in it. I believe it's rated R.
Yes.
It might be PG-13.
I was going to say, like, why?
Because I let my kid watch it.
Yeah, PG-13.
Yeah, it is PG-13.
But there's there's deaths, but there's, like Chris mentioned earlier, no blood. They just go poof.
Just kind of vapors into a mist.
See, I'm like, powder. With sci-fi stuff, I'm more into, like, the social aspect of it and, like, just the everyday life thing of it. So, like, once it starts action and everything, I'm like, whatever.
Well... Yeah. Well, see, I like the action because it's kind of a drama, drama.
The first piece is really drama driven by the two characters.
Yeah.
And then the second half, like you said,
when the ship crashes. I can't really tell you about.
You forgot to mention about his reoccurring dream.
Well,
without giving too much away. He has a dream.
I didn't want to, but he has a reoccurring dream about something that happened.
It's an important part of the story because if it wasn't for that, then he wouldn't have done certain things.
Exactly. Yeah. It's to not give away the story, it's a reoccurring dream that something happens that he doesn't know if it's real or not.
Right.
He just thinks it's a dream, but he's not sure if it's a dream or if it's real.
And it persuades him to sort of act on.
It kind of persuades him to act a little bit differently than what he does.
Curious about stuff.
They do have a supposed mandatory mind wipe 5 years ago, yeah. Supposedly?
Yeah, something like every 5 years they're supposed to have a mandatory mind wipe that blacks out what happened during the war or something so that they don't remember the horrors of the war.
See, I think that's something what they
said. Security reasons.
Well, that's what I said. You can't get real past about half the movie because then you really give it away as to what happens in the movie. And so you have to watch it. I liked the movie. I thought it was really good. Very visual.
I liked the first
good
half.
Good fight scenes. You like the drama. Yeah,
Star Wars Stormtroopers.
Woo! Yeah, kind of.
No, I'm not feeling this.
I was kind of thinking the scabs more looked like the TIE fighter pilots.
Not the scabs.
Oh, the scabs.
Their house.
In full uniform, the scabs looked like the desert people.
Their house?
What about their house?
Their house was floating. It was in Star Wars, too.
I was trying to decide if the house was actually balancing.
What is that, Sky?
It was balancing.
Sky City.
It wasn't swinging. And they had a swimming pool Cloud and there wasn't City. Waves on it.
Well, the way they described
it. I would never go into that swimming pool.
There's one scene.
Yeah, that scene.
And you see the bottom of the structure. There's like poles going out into the mountain.
Mm-hmm. It was like Sky City.
How big the pole was, I have no clue. Then it takes it up into the sport. Yeah. And when do they go?
Yeah, don't give it away, Richard. See, that's what I said. It's really hard to describe the second half of the movie without giving away a lot of the plot.
Yeah.
All right.
But it is a structure. It's not floating. It is a structure.
Right.
And he keeps his pants on throughout that whole scene.
That takes skill right there.
But I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a really good movie. I think it's one you should definitely have. You know, I think it was fairly popular.
I will say on the other side of it, it is very sci-fi and not for everybody.
It is. It is very futuristic.
I think it was like...
Did they really give a time frame?
No. I don't
remember.
They gave you the number of the last Super Bowl.
Right.
But I can't remember what it was. My bad.
And in his
2017 in his last Super Bowl.
In his recurring dream, they also say when that was. I can't remember.
I don't remember the time. I think it was in the 90s,
I'm not sure. 2032 is coming to mind.
I don't know.
Somewhere close. It's in the future, but it's not distant. It's not 500 years in the future. It's near future.
2032.
That's very odd.
To actually give a time frame, we'll give it away too.
Yeah, kind. That's why. Well, yeah, kind of weird.
Oh, we were talking about the timeline.
Oh, the timeline, which you can't really go into too much without giving it away as to what has happened. So,
I think we're done.
We're kind of.
Back teeth are floating. Hurry up.
That's kind of where. Everything. You know, I kind of have to leave it, but I will say that, you know, I think you should have it. I liked it. PG-13, you know, Tom Cruise, Morgan Freeman, good actors.
It's one of those where it has that action element, but it also with the beginning, it's kind of a sad and movie as well. Because the first part is, like you said, the drama, the
building.
Right.
A little character development.
The action.
See, but like, I thought it, like, when they got more into, like, I don't know, got to... Too much for me, like this
too
is happening.
Action.
Oh, now this is happening. No, I don't know. Like,
too fast. It's,
they're throwing so many different curveballs at you with like.
Well,
it got so
hard.
Busy
yeah.
and
that,
jumbled.
That's part of the story, though, as to
yeah, but
again, without
hurt my
giving
brain
it away.
When I watch a movie. I want to enjoy
well,
the movie.
That's part of the story. Without giving away, I can't say as to why they did that. Without giving away the plot of the story, but that was in there for a reason.
Isn't this actually a...
Well, we can mention that, yeah. What did you have, Logan?
Does anybody else get reminded of the TIE fighter when they see the jet thing?
No.
The drone?
If I remember correctly, I kept on... Not the drone, but the...
His little helicopter thingy?
Yeah. If I remember correctly, I kept on getting reminded of the TIE fighter.
There was in the fight scene where he flips the thing backwards, it reminded me of The Last Starfighter.
Lost in Starfighter and Lost in Space, the movie, also had a bubble fighter where they
could
get a gyroscope on it.
A lot similar to, and it looks like they took some cues from pretty much Lost in Space on that vehicle. But yeah.
Star Wars has one of those in the Millennium Falcon, too.
I saw a DeLorean on the highway a couple weeks ago.
Random comments. No. We were discussing some of the other aspects of the movie, but I say
April,
get it.
Yep. I would agree with that. April did make one mention that
it is a comic. Special features.
What? Really?
Yep. I didn't started out as a graphic novel. The director wrote the graphic novel. I think it was Radical Comics. But I looked forward to see if it was available anywhere, and no copies available anywhere.
Oh, darn. I have to look to see that. Cool. That may be something some would look for. Chris, what's your opinion? A Get movie should have in pretty much any library? Or
yeah, because it has Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman.
Let him speak.
And as Chris mentioned, he let his
I'm gonna defer
children watch
to
it.
Richard's statement.
Okay. Know your community.
Yes. To my statement?
Well, you let your kids watch it, so I mean, and they enjoyed it, so it's.
Yeah, I don't know if
I think it's PG-13 for the violence, otherwise.
I let my 12-year-old and my 9-year-old watch it. Well, she's 10 now. Sorry, Sierra. I let my 10 and my 10 and my 12-year-old watch it, and I think they understood most of what was going on. I mean, it's not one of those crazy mental sort of movies.
It's not Divergent.
Mental movie, yeah.
It's not Divergent.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
It's not Divergent.
Yeah. I said we're good.
Read the book.
Oh, Divergent, the book. Got it. I thought you were just trying to use a big word.
No.
Okay. Are we done with that one?
I got
a call back.
It's not that big word. Holy crap.
Okay. It,
you know, in Big Bang Theory, when Penny tries to use a big word, they just... It's so cute when she tries.
But I think we're done with that. We'll have our next drop before we continue on with the review of Oblivion soundtrack.
Peter,
Jenny,
and Jamie
from
Strange Fruit. And you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
And we are back after listening to Oblivion, performed by M83 from the Oblivion soundtrack. So we'll let April take it away from here.
All right, then. Basically, the reason we're doing this one is because Chris wanted me to. So, you know, always looking out, doing Buddy a favor. Shut up, Chris.
No, he's saying I can eat.
Trying to do people favors and they don't even appreciate me over here.
Don't.
Anyway, whoa. Oh, gosh.
Okay, go on, April.
So the soundtrack of Oblivion was, the score was composed by Anthony Gonzalez and Joseph Trapanese. I want to say that's right. Sorry, Joseph.
Trapanese,
it's not.
Trapanese.
Trapanese.
Oh, wow. We are just on a roll with Japanese, these podcasts.
Japanese, I didn't give him the friggin' last name. And that's the cool thing about it, because M83 is a, they're called an electronic music, they kind of do, and I don't know if they're more indie, alternative, kind of, but they're actually French, and they're from Antibes, I don't know.
I think it's Antibes.
Okay, and Anthony Gonzalez is one of the co-founders. Anthony Gonzalez started it up with Nicholas Fromagian.
We're butchering names. We are sorry, guys, for that. We are horrible.
Are these all
at
French
that.
Names?
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn Americans. Can't get the Chinese names or Japanese names right. Can't get the French names right either.
But we try.
And that's what's cool about it because...
Kirsterman.
What?
That would be hard to figure out, probably.
Anyways, but so yeah, so Anthony Gonzalez, who's a member of M83, also helped compose all of the songs on here. And then Oblivion, which is the last track on the CD, is by actual M83. And it's the singer on it, though, is not an M83. That's Suzanne. I'm going to say Sundefur, and I'm just going to ignore that O with a slash through it because.
Well, it's
crossed we out. Can't pronounce
it's your last
these.
Name. We're
sorry.
Just going to lop a letter off and call no, you what well, we want.
It's crossed out, so it's going
to be. Sundefur? I don't know. Like once you start putting symbols into like your names, I'm just it changes the whole thing, guys. It confuses me.
Like
wasn't there something about this soundtrack why you wanted to do it?
That's why M83.
Other than M83, I thought you said there was something about it was.
It's pretty awesome.
A free well, it was one of the first movies that didn't like hire out a complete score. This was public domain music. Right.
He actually composed it, so I don't know because they said they brought him in after
call
hearing.
Call it public domain because it was offered on the internet for free. I know that's not the right definition to use for, but you could buy this per track. I know you can do that with any music, but I found it on SoundCloud, and I know SoundCloud probably not a legit music selling site. but it struck me that the movie industry is moving to more using more of the
more indie, more lesser
known
people.
Yeah, lesser known.
And this one, I think I can't remember if the director knew M83 and asked them to come on. There is an extra feature on here about the music, but
and if you don't,
it's been a while since we
and if you
it.
Guys don't recognize M83 right now, it's their most popular song over here is Midnight City. I'm pretty sure if you guys don't recognize the title, if you don't recognize the band, if you go look it up and you hear it, you'll recognize the sound. Because
probably.
It's everywhere.
Well, the sound that they use fits the style of movie. That sci-fi-ish kind of...
Electronic. That's why they're electronic.
Well, yeah. But when you think of sci-fi movies, you think more of that electronic sound. And that's exactly what...
And
they are.
I really did like the soundtrack as a whole. The only thing for me is that I really liked how they reused rhythms and all that, and all of them to give it, like, to connect them all as a soundtrack. But all their changes and everything were so subtle, except for one or two songs that...
They're changing from, major to minor.
Yeah, but see,
to augmented.
But it could
sort
get...
Sort of, they're just changing the chord...
A little bit.
By moving, like, on a keyboard, one finger.
But see, and I get it's a soundtrack, but... It could be considered too boring for just an average listener, you know? If you don't...
It is trance music.
Yeah.
It's just something that you sit there and just go...
And see, but there's...
I'm an atom and electrons are floating around me. And...
Yeah, because there's like seven... Yeah. There's 17 tracks on here and all but the 17th one is just full instrumental. So I could see how it could get boring to just
an average
listener.
It's like listening to classical music.
Yeah, pretty much.
With a techno.
It's very chortle.
Chortle?
I don't know if that's a real word.
I don't know either.
But it's you know, just listening to it, it's most of it, well, not most of it. I mean, there's strings in it, but there's also electronics
it's
in it.
Symphony.
And there's drums.
It's, you know,
and there's
all chords in the background is all it is.
It's pretty
much
a full
And then there's
symphony.
Something that floats on top of it.
You're right there,
and
he's getting too emotional.
No, I was going to go burnt, but anyway, it's lots of chords. There's always sound going on. There's not a whole lot of drama in this music. It's just there,
and that's why I'm saying it could be one because there's not a lot.
You know,
of
there's
dramatic.
There's not a lot of
crescendo,
dynamics.
Decrescendo, blah, blah.
And there's some dynamics, and it's loud, you know.
I was like, why are we quiet now?
She was making a point. But, if you would listen.
No.
But because when it is dramatic, they make it dramatic and they make it awesome. Because our opening song, Waking Up, is my personal favorite on it. And it's because it has that long, long crescendo build up to the drop. And then it goes quiet. It's like, and they use minors in that a lot, too, to prolong. Because they use minors and then they use the lower instruments to prolong the build up so that it doesn't drop as soon as it could. And that's awesome. And then when it drops, you have a heart attack. No, because it's so much emotion, you're just like...
Well, it does. It does. Okay. You're
talking about the resolve. When the chord is sort of... it's sustained in...
Yeah, and then it like cuts
like
out.
The whole chord isn't there. It's just part of it. Or maybe it's an augmented chord where you're just sitting there in suspense. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
You're kind of in suspense until it resolves. And then when it resolves, it's kind of like this, finally.
Well, this one's more like, holy just shit. Because right. It builds up. Then it goes, well, this is going to the first song again. It goes just real like, boom.
Yeah,
so but see, the thing,
that's why she says there's a drop.
I don't know how to. So,
feels like the carpet's
I can't explain how I listen to music, but like because
it's building suspense until the release.
Because
right.
And it's the release you're talking about then.
Because it gives you so many places where it could be dropped. Because they'll hold a chord and then they'll stop and bring it in a different chord to. I don't know how to explain how I listen to music.
Just listen to it.
But then like it's not that feeling of. Oh, it's finally there, or like, holy crap, I didn't expect. It's just like that feeling.
It's the emotion. She can't explain emotion.
It's that feeling, guys.
It's that feeling.
it's definitely cool.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy soundtracks in a way, and this has that techno, feel to it.
Techno electronica.
Yeah, the electronica.
With acoustics.
That made it really cool. It's really cool music, and it's definitely something different.
Do you remember the first time that Metallica, a heavy metal electric guitar band, brought acoustic instruments, mainly an orchestra, into their music?
That'd be awesome.
And made, was it No Leaf Clover? Remember that soundtrack?
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
I do.
That was incredible.
It was cool.
Because they took two different genres that normally don't go together and blended them together like they were meant, like a marriage.
Oh, no, I kind of think if you put an orchestra or symphony into it with anything, it just enriches
well,
the sound.
Well, see, cool. This does the same thing with techno. And then if you listen, I think the first song was, well, I think Oblivion has strings in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, it's all strings, and all of a sudden... You know, just there's the electric. Yeah. But it just goes to show that that an artist can paint with anything.
True.
Yeah. As I said, I liked it. I thought it was cool.
And I think the going back to your statement about being like a classical, there's one point, and Jason Swank from another podcast, most people would know him from Rebel Force Radio, he comments, because he's a marketing person for orchestra in his area. Symphony orchestra, and he related are the soundtracks of today are our classicals that will be in the future because it's all instrumental, but yet it evokes emotions. People can relate to them. It's just that they're with movies. Back and then they didn't have movies,
right?
I mean, video games too. Video games.
They actually do have an
it.
Orchestra video game music already too.
Yeah, you found that online.
Yeah.
So it's just back in those days, there was no TV, there was nothing. They were let the music paint the picture, but with ours, you kind of already have a little bit of a picture because if you've seen the movie, but it just evokes, you know.
If
you hear the Jaws theme, you automatically know, Jaws.
But here's the thing, though.
It evokes that emotion.
Hold on for a second.
Actually,
Logan, hold on for a second. Chris is talking.
Because what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Do you get the emotion because of the music, or do you get the sound because you saw the movie and remember the movie better when you hear the music?
Yes.
Probably the second.
You know,
because...
No,
hey.
I can listen to this soundtrack and remember the movie just by listening to the music. Okay. I would never have to watch the movie again.
Because, and I'm probably agreeing with you, because my psychology class had a little experiment type thing where
Dad,
we
stop
put
breathing.
Our... where we put our heads down and tried to relax and listened, and he played the top, supposed to be spookiest soundtrack ever, the Jaws theme. I thought it was that bit in Bambi with the very first bit in Bambi where there was the fire.
Well, you're wrong.
Yeah, I thought Jaws was Bambi.
Well, see, the thing,
the motion is the same.
But the motion was there, yeah, just you correlated it to a different show.
Well, see, this is my, the first time I've... really ever that I've listened to the soundtrack and I listened to it before I even watched the movie, so I think I enjoyed the movie more listening to the soundtrack first and then going into it. But at the same time, it also took away from the movie because I'm focusing more on like the music than on the
You knew the music was coming, so you could you could relate.
And when I hear it, I'm like, yes. And that's how I am. I like listening to music. So it was like, and so I didn't pay as much attention to the movie.
Some people, it's both ways. Some people like soundtracks and then movies, or some people, after they watch a movie, go, I gotta get the soundtrack.
Last of the Mohicans.
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club.
Yep, yeah, that's another
Gladiator.
Yep.
If I would have just heard the Gladiator music before I saw the movie, I probably wouldn't listen to it. But since I saw the movie first,
mm-hmm.
now I picture the movie in my head when I listen to the music, it and the music makes more sense.
So it's how you listen to it.
See,
it's how
I
you like music.
I can't do that because with a movie, I'm like a weirdo. With a movie, it's like I'm in the movie theater. I'll be watching it, and I won't notice anything but the movie. And all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, the music. And then I won't watch like the movie for 10 minutes. I'll be like, what's happening? What?
Watch. Hey, I'm do an experiment with yourself. Go home and get Scream. Rent the movie, the first one. Okay, because it's not as bloody as the rest of them. And then mute your TV and turn on the subtitles. And try watching the movie without laughing. Sound makes all the difference in a movie. Rather, it's the, you know, of blood squirting out, you know,
sound effects,
the music, the music trying to draw an emotion out, the music can actually enhancing. Make you feel a certain way, to where if you have the TV muted and you're watching the movie, you get nothing.
And see, that's why I think it's cool, because you don't really realize how much music is in that, because it's so creative on how they get different sounds. And like, it's crazy. Like, some things you would have never expected to be what they are, you know. I think that's really cool.
Well, without the techno part of this in Oblivion, it wouldn't have been as good as a movie. If they'd have used, you know, just strings or whatever, it wouldn't have been nearly as good.
What if they used horror music?
Dun, dun, dun.
It wouldn't fit at all.
Dun dun dun, and droid dead.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be? It had a totally different feeling, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So
something odd. If you get the music and Christmas movie music matched up.
Sorry.
Carol of the Bells.
The Carols of the Bells is a good one.
Okay. Anyway, stop. Okay. But one thing I really liked.
Logan going.
Logan. One thing I really liked was throughout this whole thing, they're spotlighting like euphoniums and freaking French horns, and I'm like, what? I'm like,
there's a type of music that actually brings those out more.
Yeah, well,
what type of music is that?
I don't know.
Patriotic.
Hey. I don't know.
Fun fact of the day.
But see, the thing
Lots
is, like,
by Chris.
That doesn't happen a lot, you know. And so, and like, that's one of my favorite parts of the band.
More favorite.
I like favoriter.
Favoriter.
Good English.
Well, it's one of
Hey, don't critique us.
You're making the Lincoln. Richard got it on his shirt, and I'm reading his shirt, and I can't even get it right. Well, if that doesn't attribute to my school system, I mean, hey.
We're all in trouble.
Well, because, like, whenever I enjoy listening to French horns and euphoniums. I don't know why. They just sound awesome to me. And so having songs actually spotlight them, where they have an actual part that you can hear that's not blending with anything, sounds really
cool.
What
instrument do you play?
Clarinet.
You should switch.
Why do you say those are patriotic, though? I'm trying to place a French horn.
Well, patriotic.
Trumpet.
Trumpet, yes. But
well, French horn is very similar sounding to a trumpet.
They have them.
I can see the trumpet definitely and all that. But
I don't care. Like, trumpets, I hate you. You guys, I'm not talking about trumpets.
The instrument?
I'm talking about French horns.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Don't put me...
Isn't a French horn trumpets. A little softer sound than a trumpet, though?
Mellow.
Yeah.
Mellow. Okay.
Sounds cool.
So that's why I'm like, that's spotlighted in patriotic.
No, it is in a lot of patriotic music.
Is it?
Okay.
I think
Fanfare of
the
Common
more,
Man probably, is not really patriotic music, but it is a French horn feature. It's a brass feature.
There,
matter of fact, every time
this.
We play it in Cowboy Band, I feel like I'm being discriminated.
We played this piece in...
Sax player. Got to qualify this.
No, we played a piece called Dinosaurs in 8th grade, and it had a French horn part where it was basically trilling for like 50 measures, and I guess you could equate it to an elephant nowadays, but it was supposed to be like an old school dinosaurs, and it was like, brrr, and I was like, oh. I'm sorry, I can't make it like a French horn sound, but it was like, shut up, Dad. I'm trying to talk about French horns here.
You said elephant. Nobody recognized that?
I did, but
elephant walk? Elephant walk.
Okay.
This hurts
back,
my ears.
Back to, can we get back to the actual?
Anyway, another aspect I really liked about the music was the percussion, and like it was just so, and it's in like pretty much through every single thing, percussion's in it one way or another, and I really liked it because like they said in special features that they had two percussionists on drum kits, like beside each other and playing at the same time, so they were like feeding off of each other's energy on like playing and like the loudness and excitement, and they said that that's really rare in the music industry because usually they like piece it together, you know, put parts and all that, and so I think it was really neat that they did so much with so little. That's like, what?
It's awesome. Yeah, and it was a full drum set. It wasn't like
it was a
regular drum kit that you'd have in a rock band.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome because they had like shots of them playing.
Sound like a herd of goats with everybody going.
Yes. Yeah, I have to make a comment. We're in the middle of allergy season here, and all of us have allergies. Yeah,
pretty much.
I'm sorry. I think like at least a ruler away each time I do that. I'm guessing I still show up.
Yeah.
And they put, and
but
they,
it's not as noticeable as going.
And they put the bass guitar in this a lot too. All that.
Well,
that rumbling,
there's a lot
that.
Of percussion in it. There is.
Well, I'm talking about bass guitar though.
Yeah.
Actually,
I was like, yeah.
You know what? There's actually a couple of ways to get that low bass into music, and a lot of actually that comes from drummers. They have a sort of soundboard that's called a
soundboard.
I know exactly what you're talking about, Chris,
trigger,
but I can't tell you what
a trigger that is. A trigger board or a trigger box or something like that. And what that does is that it syncs up your bass. It syncs up. I think it syncs up a bass drum with a bass guitar, and then lowers the sound an octave.
That's cool. See, that's why I like kind of
so you get the real low deep
like that, because you never
booms
realize how much impact the bass section has on it. Because
what?
Say, No, because if you just...
The bass section has all the power of the
bass. That's what I'm saying, but they're so under it because...
I'm a Barry sax player. I got to qualify my statement.
Well, I know, but the bass section is like my favorite of all sections to listen to. But if you're listening to something, you're not... You hear the bass, but that's not... that. You don't even immediately go like, oh, man, that Barry sax. Oh, man, that bass guitar.
Well, that's
actually,
because you're listening to the rhythm.
But
so you're listening to the melody
but
and
you
the
see,
harmony.
If you take it out,
it's gone.
People notice.
Mm-hmm.
And it completely...
The bass section is more of a feel than it is a sound.
Yeah, maybe that's why I can't tell you guys about that drop, because it's a feel.
She loves that.
Because it's a feel.
You know, a tuba and a Barry sax player together will sound like a bass cello, or an upright bass.
Really? Okay.
The reedy sound of the Barry sax gives it the sort of the detail that a tuba can't produce with its sound.
Mm-hmm.
But a tuba produces, you know, most of the actual sound of the note. And then the Barry sax actually adds it to where Barry sax by itself is a pretty bright instrument. That's why it's used a lot
in jazz. That's
what I was
saying, because I don't like Barry sax a lot. My awkward.
But in a band...
This is the music person talking.
In a band that has tubas in it, it's... I mean, of course, every band, especially school bands, are going to be of varying sizes. And maybe they can't afford, you know, some music programs suffer. But every school band needs to have a Barry sax in it. At least one.
We have one. I think we're either kicking him out or we're getting another one.
Well, if you're getting this news, sorry.
Oh, you're
being voted off.
Okay,
we won't go there.
Our bass section. How do I describe it?
We won't go there. You don't have to go there.
And something odd. Do you notice that in movies, if the music matches up with the movie well enough, you can still feel the things that the music draws into or whatever? It's just that you don't notice the music until the second or the third time you watch it.
Well, you go back and you watch a scary movie of any kind, a horror movie. There's always that telltale where it's building, like April said in that song.
It's just
you know there's that build and then it hits.
The suspense.
It's a suspense thing in a horror movie. So you know, it's you know you watch it and you go.
Yeah.
you either enjoy it or you don't.
See, I think that could like totally be my future job. Because like we were watching, I remember the exact movie. We were watching Avengers. And we were watching the credits because it's a freaking Marvel movie.
You gotta watch the end, baby.
Sit there. But we're just talking and I'm bored out of my mind. And it like clicks and like I hear it. I'm like, oh my gosh, they use actual instruments for that. Yeah, I can do that. Oh my God, it's a job. That's my job.
Who's excited for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
That was on last Monday.
Whoa, did you just say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Agents.
Because that's what I heard.
He said agents.
We haven't watched it.
You just didn't enunciate very hard. And it was on Monday, and I missed it because I thought it was on Tuesday.
We missed it, too. Yeah.
I was so disappointed.
Cry.
Yes, I about did when I found out it was on Monday, not Tuesday. Oh.
I was trying to help Dad out, and I was trying to tell him a rerun time, but I forgot to do it, convert it to Central time, so we missed it like an hour later. I said, oh, I'm so sorry.
No! That's even worse than missing it by a day.
You turn the station 5 minutes early, and it's over. You're like, crap. Something's wrong with the TV guide.
Okay. What's happening? I was trying so hard.
That episode sucked. It only lasted 5 minutes.
Okay. Go back to the podcast again. To use Richard's statement, know your community.
Honestly,
we're going to just keep using that. It's a great statement.
No, seriously. This thing is an example of a genre.
Yeah.
It should be in every collection.
Yeah. It should be. If you have... I think if definitely if you have, I don't want to say classic, but that I'm sure bigger libraries have a
soundtrack
section.
New age definitely classical. New genre. Yeah.
I think it's crazy, like the times on these, because some of them are into the upper 5 minutes, and then there's some that's like a minute,
well,
2 minutes.
You got to remember, like, it depends on the scene that it was written for.
I know, but it's funny.
You know, there may be a scene, like one of those, and I couldn't tell you which one it was. There's probably a scene where, when I said he was at, in the movie review, when he was at his cabin with the lake and everything, there's probably a real mellow, you know, one of those that's probably only a minute or so long because...
Nature sounds.
That's how long he was there, but it gave you that mellow, relaxed feeling that he had when he was there.
I think, in the first two tracks, they're so seamless that when it changes tracks, it does not change music. It doesn't stop. It just keeps going. So me and Dad are like trying to get times. And we're like, this is a pretty long song. And we look at it and it's track number two already. And we're like, oh my gosh, what's happening?
That's actually common among the CDs that I've noticed. The first one,
they play
a
in the same key.
Overture,
that way the
and
music
then
blend.
You don't even notice, but it's the second one.
Well,
yep, true.
Right. A lot of bands do that. That way they don't have to learn a bunch of keys in their music.
But usually in CD albums, they have, you know, that
pause,
and then it goes into the next one. That's what I'm talking about. And this one just like,
they crossfade into each other.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't even do that. Just,
no.
So what is going to be our last track that we're going to be
Our last track is Jack's Dream. It's the first one on this.
It's the first
CD.
One.
And
yes, Logan? Yes,
if you're going to make a new age classical, you have to put some of the classicals in there, like Mario, Sonic,
you gotta
Legend
have video
of Zelda,
games.
Pinball, Tetris.
Worked for me.
Let's just listen to number two after we're done with this Pac-Man. One, so that I can show you guys that feel.
Wait.
We're not going there.
Think about that statement.
We are going to leave out.
Well, that's
with
edited.
Downhill. We are going to leave out, as April said, with the first track of the album.
Jack's Dream.
And we appreciate everybody listening. Yes.
Before, if you guys do want to...
So close.
Sorry, no. If you guys do want to check out M83 themselves, you can go to ilovem83.com. And that's where all of their...
And YouTube.
Yeah, they are on YouTube.
YouTube's always
Yeah, but
useful.
YouTube doesn't give you the store or the freaking schedules for touring.
Actually, they can.
So...
It's called the
check
little link
out.
In the note box.
Logan, chat.
So what was that address again before we leave out? It was
ilovem83.com. That's kind of like narcissistic.
I knew that was coming.
She knows that very well.
So we're having fun here. I hope everybody at home is as well. We'll catch you on the next go around. Everybody have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.